Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, happy 6'10 day. Celebrate by putting on your 6'10 Pendergast jersey or your Payne jersey or whatever. We need jerseys.
Then that's drive all around 6'10. Drive around the entire loop. In the left lane,
yes,
at 61 miles per hour,
blaring our station.
That's what you do. Yes,
roll down the windows.
Park yourself in the left lane.
They
going
love that.
61 miles per hour.
People love that. Yes,
including through the Galleria.
Yes,
maintain 61 miles per hour, no matter what.
That's hilarious.
Turn off your adaptive cruise and just cruise 61 miles per hour.
That's funny. All right, let's get to the petty cast here. We get petty every Tuesday. We're petty. We've been petty several times this morning, but we make a point of doing it at 8 o'clock every Tuesday. And we're petty. We highlight other people's pettiness, and we want to highlight yours as well. So text in 713-572-4610 if you want to get in and tell us what you're petty about. All right, I have one thing off the top, Seth, and this is with the with respect to something that gets cited very frequently on Astro broadcasts. You know how I feel. I think we've got a really good team here. I think Todd Callis and Jeff Blum and Julia Morales do an excellent job. We're very lucky. That said, the amount to which they lean in to catch percentage.
Yes.
In the outfield, catch probability it verges on annoying a little bit, and here's why. The stat sucks.
It's
a horrible stat, and I was all ready to go to grab the audio that illustrated perfectly why it is such a flawed and stupid stat, because I heard Todd Callis talking about Jacob Melton's catch on Friday night on the Saturday broadcast. He was talking about it. Jacob Melton made a spectacular catch in right field where he was diving forward into the dirt along the right field line and to kind of save, you know, Colton Gordon's hide. And it was an amazing catch. And it wasn't so much that I disagreed with the percentage initially or whatever the case may be. It's that the very next day, Todd said on the broadcast, and again, I recorded the replay of the game so I could go get this audio, and for some reason, Space City Home Network took out that half inning of the replay of the game, so I couldn't get it. Maybe it's because
they know.
Yes, they know
they
it's
know.
Stupid. Todd said that the catch that Jacob Melton made had initially been a 5-star catch because it was only a 15% catch probability. They changed it overnight to a 45% catch probability.
You know what? You know what this is, Sean? You know what they do? This is why it annoys me.
Dude.
Because the vast majority of the time, there will be some incredible catch in the outfield. And usually, so right there, like you said, like, okay, how good of a stat is it that if in the moment it can be revised and cut in half?
By 30%. It gets moved up by 30 percentage points.
But then also, sometimes they're like, hey, you're just enjoying a great catch in the outfield.
Yeah.
And they'll say, oh, there's an 85% catch probability on that. We're like, what the hell, man?
Dude.
You know what it's like? It's like when you get that letter from one of those scam, like, hey, you made Who's Who in America.
Right.
Then you're like, ooh, I must be special. No. Like, oh, no, they're just trying to get me to spend $85 for a leather-bound book with my name in it.
My face in it, yeah.
Yeah.
They're
like, hey, everybody. Hey, we've been trying for 2 years, and now we're having a baby. Well, you know, statistically, with all the advances they've made, in fertility, it was probably only a matter of time. Shut up! Let me enjoy this moment.
So the fact that it went overnight from 15% to 45% is dumb. And then there were two other plays like along the weekend. Like on Saturday in the bottom of the ninth, I forget who hit it, but it was that double, that pop fly double that landed just inside the foul line that Altuve was chasing and slid to go get.
Yeah.
And Callis goes, that was a 95% catch probability. And like anybody with a set of eyes knows that there was not a 95% chance of that getting caught. And then real quick, one other one. Melton made another great catch bottom of the eighth on Sunday. Similar catch where he's diving forward and makes it. And this is what you're talking about. Makes the catch like, man, what a catch by the young guy. 95% catch probability. My ass, 95% catch probability.
This is what the problem is, that a lot of the great catches, we know this as fans. We don't need them to put a number on it. A lot of great catches are made because they got a bad read initially, or they didn't get a good jump on the ball, or they misread it, or whatever it might be in the air. So it ends up being like the computer looks at it and says, well, the player was here, the ball was in the air this long. How often does somebody make that catch? So it almost, it's only saying, yeah, if you do every, like an outfielder is going to make some mistakes early in the ball being put in play, but you still got to give them credit for making whatever athletic move they, I'm already over explaining it.
Yeah.
Just let me enjoy something. Like, I don't want to go to an art museum with a neuroscientist next to me the whole time telling me why I enjoy this painting.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Actually, I take that back. Now I kind of do. Okay. But sometimes you have to enjoy beautiful things just for the sake of being beautiful.
They're going to keep citing it, and I love them. I think they do a great job. I think it's just a silly, stupid metric. It's dumb.
I don't like how much they eagerly anticipate it and are just like almost salivating over what the catch.
They're pretty giddy about it.
I feel like it might be something contractual with MLB.
Maybe.
Because they own the StatCast data and everything. So it's, as far as Melton goes, by the way, this is another one big thing as we approach the trade deadline of, all right, hey, he's a lefty. Hey, makes these great plays defensively. Gives you competitive at-bats.
Yeah.
But the actually getting hits, that's continues to elude him.
Yeah,
3 for 20 with 8 strikeouts.
Yeah,
He's not going up there and flailing around a damn fool.
He's not.
So there's something there. And he's also still recovering from this groin injury. So I don't know with Melton yet.
We'll see. All right, I'm going to skip down here, Ben, to Mad Dog, because I want to make sure I have a couple others I want to make sure we get in. The Tom Thibodeau firing last week by the Knicks. I just love Mad Dog Russo because he thinks that you need to know players from like back in the 50s and 60s to be able to have educated opinions on things in the year 2025. Here's Mad Dog going nuts on Knicks owner James Dolan for firing Tom Thibodeau.
And everybody knows who follows, who sees, who watches the NBA, knows if Anthony Towns or OG make a free throw, or if God didn't let the ball bounce in with Halliburton's 3 or 2 at the end of game 1, the Knicks would have won that series. But this is about Dolan. Don't let anybody hear you. Don't let anybody in America hear you say, this is Leon Rose. Nonsense. Nonsense. Rose and Thibodeau are tight. He's his agent. This has got nothing to do with it. You think Rose wanted to fire Tom Thibodeau after he got to a conference final? But Rose doesn't have any power there. Dolan does. He sits on the baseline with a dopey hat on, thinking that he knows something about, but he wouldn't even know who George Mikan is. He knows nothing. He's there because his old man was a brilliant businessman, and he took over. That's what this is all about. Oh, my God. It's the guy that ran Marv Albert out of the building.
This is the second time that Mad Dog has cited an athlete from, like, back in the 50s and 60s. The first
That
we've played on the show.
Yeah.
The first one was Taylor Swift, didn't know who Len Dawson was.
And Curly Culp.
She doesn't know Len Dawson.
And it wasn't Taylor Swift. I think it was Swifties in general. He was being the grumpy old man that didn't like. And the funniest thing about that was like, I guarantee you, if you ask the average 22-year-old Chiefs fan, male or female, who Curly Culp, tell me all about Curly Culp and what a horrible trade they made when they traded him to the Oilers and everything. They don't know.
Nope.
This is his shtick though. I think they very much encourage him to be. Like the grumpiest old man possible.
It is, but he's a New York guy.
Guys from back when.
Yeah, he's a New York guy, though. I'm guessing some of the anger is real when it comes.
Oh no,
to that.
I think some of the anger and discontent is real, but especially the whole bringing up players from back in the day that a lot of young male sports fans,
yes.
or at least even educated sports fans, don't know. I will support him in this, in that I think for your. If you have an owner who's a wannabe GM, he should know all of those old-time players.
Should know the history.
I support his pettiness towards James Dolan.
Right.
You're supporting being petty towards him.
Yeah.
Or you're being petty towards him.
Yeah.
We celebrate all pettiness in all directions folks.
We do. All right, let's get to we'll skip back here. Let's do Windhorst here, Ben. Is Adam Silver petty enough to shame NBA players into trying in the All-Star game? This is Brian Windhorst. If you missed the news last week, Adam Silver revealed that it is going to be a USA versus the world format for the NBA All-Star game this year. Here is the motivation behind that, according to ESPN's Brian Windhorst.
Well, let's just be honest about what this is. This is an attempt to shame the players because Adam Silver and the league has tried all kinds of different things to get them to care, right? They tried money. They tried to incentivize their play by giving them more money. That did not work. They tried to incentivize their play by their sense of duty and history. A couple of years ago, Adam Silver brought in these veterans, these legends, to talk to the players, to try to get them to feel the sense of their need to invest in All-Star Weekend. They did it in Indiana, which got this big history of basketball. The players didn't care. And so now this is a move to hit them as Americans, to go at an area where maybe they will feel a little bit of a pinch.
I mean, that is a little petty, Adam Silver. Like, all right, I got to do what I can to try to make you try in the NBA All-Star.
I'm going to be petty towards Windhorst here.
Okay.
That basically, he actually, because if anything, those previous attempts were attempts to shame them.
Yeah.
I think in the USA versus the world, that's incentivizing. That's like trying to find out, okay, where can we get something that you guys feel emotionally about? And now on social media, will be shamed if they don't. So that it'll be the 300 million Americans shaming them if they don't put up for their country when they're facing the rest of the world or in those other respective countries as they're facing the big bad awful USA. Yes. I think it's a prioritization of effective incentivizations.
Yeah.
I'm petty towards Windhorst. Windhorst trying to like, oh, you're going after Adam Silver. Nobody's scared of Adam Silver.
No, that's true.
You could go up and slap him in the face and he'd be like, let's discuss why you did that and have it, you know.
That's true. I'm looking forward to the format next year. I think the world team has a really good chance. I mean, they're
going to. Windhorst going after Silver is like 50 Cent going after Moby. You're like, oh, wow, oh no, you know, you're not scared of nothing. Okay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's continue with the pettiness, and I'm going to mix my petty in right here. Okay, so this is me. This is my pettiness towards Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen, who we've poked fun at on this show, mostly because of his reaction back in the day to the Texans drafting Davis Mills, if you recall that. Like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Yeah.
Real quick, it wasn't 50 Cent, obviously, that went after him. I'm thinking of Slim Shady, not
Right.
Like, 50 Cent would have no issue going after He would never lower himself to go after Moby.
There you go. So Seth, you know how ESPN is now doing a lot of licensing of shows where they don't own the show, but the show brings in so many eyeballs that they get into a licensing partnership with the show. The Pat McAfee show is probably the most famous version of this, where McAfee still owns the show, but it's broadcast on ESPN's platforms. And the concern that a lot of people had about the McAfee show was that, is this going to water it down that it's on ESPN? Is this going to take its rough edges off, its edginess of the show? McAfee still does stuff on YouTube where he's cursing all the time and whatnot, but he's got a couple hours on ESPN that are probably a little more homogenized than the original McAfee product was. So you've got that. You now have Inside the NBA, which is going to be in a similar relationship, the old TNT show with Barkley and Shaq that is very outspoken within the basketball world, right? A little edge to it.
Yeah.
So there's some concern there, like is ESPN going to homogenize Inside the NBA? Rich Eisen's radio show / streaming show is also moving from Roku over to ESPN, over to Disney. Mm-hmm. And Rich Eisen did an interview with Shaq. He sat down with Shaq on Shaq's podcast. And Rich Eisen, again, now keep in mind, Inside the NBA and Pat McAfee, those are shows that have an edge to them that you should be, if you like those shows, should be concerned about ESPN maybe smoothing off and making the show a little less fun. Rich Eisen was asked about it and said, you know, I really haven't spoken about this on my show because I'm in love with the Roku people. I'm trying to be respectful as possible, not talking about this on this program, but this show is moving to Disney, my radio show, and we've been given the same assurance as I'm sure Pat has, and I would be stunned in any way, shape, or form that they try to change our show. There's a reason why you guys are who you are, and I would be surprised. Rich Eisen's show is the most homogenized thing.
It's the most Disney-fied potential, yeah.
Dude,
yeah, it's pre-Disney-fied.
If anything, and I were Disney, I'd be like, look, you need to be a little more like McAfee.
Well, no, and I, you know what, honestly, I don't mean to stick up for him during the Pettycast here.
Yes.
I think that's where Eisen might be looking at it is, they're not going to have us all of a sudden turn into a debate show, or like he's, for lack of a better word, it's, his show is more boring than a lot of other people. It's more laid back. Let's say laid back.
Okay.
You know, it's just him
boring
with very low energy interviewing people. And a lot of people enjoy that.
Yeah.
I could see ESPN saying, hey, we need to jazz this up a little bit.
I hate that you're doing this
right
now. You
got to go after Moby.
I hate that you're doing this right now. I hate that you are doing this right now. Because this is, I choose to believe that this is Rich Eisen being like that episode of Seinfeld where Costanza tried to be the bad boy wearing the old Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
And, you know, like sitting there saying, you know, like, skipping work and whatnot, trying to impress a woman. This is Eisen. In my mind, this is Eisen trying to be the bad boy. Yeah, you know.
I think might be a little bit of it.
It should quell McAfee and Inside the NBA. I've been given assurances they're not going to do that with my sit-down, monotone interview show, okay?
We had Eisen on once with Meltzer, and I remember once after it being like, we will never have him on again, Mike. And Mike didn't understand why, because I think Mike really likes that. I like Eisen. I like respect what he's done and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm like, he could not have sounded more boring to talk to us. Like he was bored to talk to us.
Yeah.
Like, he just acted like, I was like, dude, this is like, this is like when you're talking to somebody who's stoned.
Yeah.
You're like, am I boring? Like, why are they not responding to what I'm saying?
I think he's good doing the studio show on NFL Network. I do. I think he's good. I think he does a nice job on their draft show and whatnot. I don't get the allure of his radio show. I'm not saying, like, it's successful. He's, I'm sure, making a lot of money doing the radio show. I don't understand the allure of it. I just don't.
This last one is, if Kirk Minahan, ever, who's on Barstool now, used to be on up in Boston. He's been around forever. Has some just viciously loyal listeners and fans of his.
Yeah.
This is Kirk Minahan berating his underperforming producer.
Yeah.
F***ing bitch. Like a f***ing baby. That's what you are. You're a f***ing baby who's never lived a life. You go around in your f***ing pool in little circles and let your dad raise you and your grandfather raise you. You won't live a real life. You're a f***ing baby. Look, you yelled at me earlier this week, so shut your f***ing mouth.
Okay.
You work for me, fat boy.
Correct.
You work for me. So you f*** up like that and I give you a f***ing pass. That's way bigger f***ing loyalty than something with Mick or something with your pretend girlfriend or any of that bullshit. So you should look at the real stuff and not the fake stuff. Instead of that, and act like a pouty f***ing baby all week. You're a f***ing complete zero to me. You're f***ing dead to me. You can sit there and your fat ass in there until you f***ing die and act like, oh, cook to me. But f*** you. F*** you. That could have f***ed us. And you did it on purpose. I don't agree with you. You're a f***ing liar, too. You're a f***ing liar.
Not a liar.
You're a f***ing liar. You did that on purpose to try and f*** me over. And I still kept you on the f***ing job. So you should say thank you every f***ing time you look at me. Do you understand me?
Look. Here's the thing. I mean, say what you will about me and Seth, but at least we save that for Ben off the air and don't do it on the air, you know?
I know. Poor
Thank
Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Poor Ben, how many bleeps he had to add to that.
I know. That we had to play that just based
that's
on the amount of labor
intensive
that Ben had to put into that.
That's, you know, Minahan, back when they were, and probably I'm sure some Boston radio shows are still like that, yeah. But his show and some of those shows up in Boston, sometimes you turn it on and it's, you cannot hear what anybody's saying because they're all just
yelling.
Screaming at each other.
Yep.
He probably, after that show, two things happened. One, Minahan was totally cool with his producer. And I don't know, his producer at least acted like he was totally cool with Minahan.
Yeah.
And if anything, the criticism for the producer was that he didn't yell back enough.
Producer was pretty docile in that situation right there, for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That was our petty cast. We'll read some of your texts in the next segment. We've been petty about Cleveland this morning. Speaking of Cleveland, Jonathan Peterlin, who does the afternoon show on our sister station, 92.3 The Fan, is going to join us, and we'll get the skinny on Nick Chubb from Jonathan Peterlin, who's obviously been covering Nick Chubb for a number of years. That'll be at 8:40, 8:45 on the show in about 20-25 minutes. So make a note of that. Minicamp gets started in a little over an hour. The four big questions for Texans minicamp. We've got that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.